We hear the story. The story of Joseph is told most clearly in the Gospel according to Matthew. Today we join the story in Matthew 1:18-25, as Joseph must decide what to do when Mary becomes pregnant. In the book, The First Advent in Palestine, author Kelly Nicodea says this: Joseph entered into her disgrace. They shouldered the shame together. God had invited him into the heart of the divine deliverance operation, along with its social stigma. Indeed, following the unborn Christ already had consequences. Hear now the beginning of the story of Jesus' saving love. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. When Jesus' mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, an upright person, unwilling to disgrace her, decided to divorce her quietly. This was Joseph's intention when suddenly the angel of God appeared in a dream and said, "Joseph, heir to the house of David, don't be afraid to wed Mary. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She is to have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, Salvation, because he will save the people from their sins." All this happened to fulfill what God has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth, and the child will be named Emmanuel, a name that means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of God had directed, and they went ahead with the marriage. He did not have intercourse with her until she had given birth. She had a son, and they named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today, our focus is on Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Many of you looked more deeply at him in the pre-Advent study based on the book Faithful by Adam Hamilton. The book which I'm using, The First Advent in Palestine, gives more background on what Joseph might have been thinking and feeling as he received news that Mary was going to have a child. Joseph's expression of love for Mary and their baby was sacrificial, and we wouldn't be here without his choice to protect Mary by following through on the betrothal and marrying her. As we look at Joseph, we learn that he was a true father to Jesus as he modeled great faith, courage, love, humility, care, and compassion. So let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Both Mary and Joseph were visited by the angel Gabriel and informed that they would become parents of God's Son. Gabriel says in both visitation narratives, "Do not fear." And these are necessary words because of God's challenging call upon their lives. This couple was put in an incredibly difficult situation. Mary becoming pregnant before marriage, clearly by someone other than her fiancé Joseph, would have been publicly humiliated and could in fact have been stoned for her supposed betrayal. She had to have been afraid of what awaited her as Joseph, her parents, and community learned of her pregnancy, which they would have assumed was the result of adultery or rape, perhaps by a Roman soldier. But Joseph is a man of strong character. Rather than break the betrothal, a public act and contract, which would have made Mary more vulnerable, Joseph remains in relationship with her. Joseph, in acting as he did, shouldered the shame along with Mary. Now, the betrothal or engagement of the couple was much more involved than in the 21st century here in the United States. Joseph's father had paid a mohar, or bride price, to Mary's father, which would have been comparable to the cost of a one-bedroom home. This payment would compensate the bride's father for the loss of her participation or labor within the household. This money would stay with Mary in the case of Joseph's death or divorce, so that she would be provided for. Joseph himself would have paid to Mary's father a matan, which would have been about 2 months' salary. It was a gift to the bride and would also remain with her in case of death or divorce. This investment by the groom and his family would not be returned if the ketubah, or marriage contract, was broken. Therefore, there would be great financial as well as relational loss if the betrothal was broken. Joseph, however, had planned to divorce Mary quietly when he learned of her pregnancy. Initially, he was not prepared to face the humiliation. The financial loss outweighed his reputation. But after the visit from Gabriel, Joseph does the unexpected and goes through with the marriage. This young couple and their parents would have been ridiculed by their community. Mary would have been looked upon as unfaithful, and Joseph would probably have been laughed at for taking Mary and her unborn child into his family. But Joseph displays great courage, faith, and compassion in his actions as he follows the direction of the angel. This is another one of those situations in which God uses difficult situations as well as unlikely individuals, according to the world's standards, to make his plan become fulfilled. God's son, who is God himself, will enter the scene in a pretty messy way. But it's not just in the marriage of Mary and Joseph that the unexpected occurs and that unexpected people are used. If we look back to the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, we read the genealogy of Jesus, and I know Dorothy is very pleased that she did not have to read the genealogy, because it is long with many names that are difficult to pronounce. But the genealogy is traced through Joseph. Kelly Nicandeha, in her book, describes Jesus' genealogy this way. There were 14 generations between Father Abraham and King David. Another 14 generations between King David and the deportation of the Jews to Babylon. And another 14 generations from the Babylonian captivity to the arrival of the Christ child. A total of 6 sets of 7. In Hebraic literature, those of you who have taken disciples, you know that the number 7 signified perfection, completion, and maturity. The placement of Jesus at the head of the 7th heptad signaled to Matthew's Jewish audience of the subject of this genealogy. As the first name of the final set of 7, Jesus inaugurated the beginning of a new humanity, a new experience of peace, a new kind of kingdom coming. In addition, Matthew includes the names of 4 women, which was unheard of in such a patriarchal society. But by including Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba, we again receive the message that God uses imperfect people and messy situations to bring about the kingdom on earth. Tamar had to play the part of a prostitute in order to have children after her husband died. Rahab was a prostitute. Ruth was a Moabite, a non-Jew. And Bathsheba became David's wife after he had an affair with her and then ordered her husband Uriah to be killed so that he could marry her. Lots of drama in Jesus' lineage. People of disrepute. God used broken people and situations in the past, and God does so again with Mary and Joseph. The genealogy is important because it delivers this message, yes, but it also gives legitimacy to Joseph as Jesus' earthly father. By naming Jesus, as the angel Gabriel instructs, Joseph is in essence adopting him and claiming him as his own son. Jesus' ancestry, then, is from the house of David, one of the Jews' most important kings, and Joseph's role in the story, serving as Joseph's earthly parent, makes this possible. God uses Joseph to assure Jesus' proper place in the history of God's people. In addition, in naming their child Jesus, which means God saves, Yahweh delivers the message that this baby is important. In quoting Isaiah, Matthew further emphasizes Jesus' importance because we hear the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There is so much in his name. And so in naming Jesus, Joseph adopts him and claims him as his own and makes it clear that this child will provide an important role in God's salvation story. Joseph's actions not only took courage, but they were filled with love. Joseph first shows his love by giving up his social position when he chooses to follow through on the marriage. Joseph expresses his love, obedience, and faith in God by listening to the angel's words, naming and claiming Jesus as his own. God's love flows through Joseph as he protectively cares for Mary and Jesus. He finds a safe place for her to give birth. And then when Herod goes looking for the child, Joseph takes Mary and Jesus and they escape to Egypt, living as refugees until it is safe to return home. Joseph pays attention to God's voice that comes to him through dreams and the angel, as well as through the Magi, in order to care for the baby who would become the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The love of God, that unconditional love that we learn about through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, is expressed first through Joseph. Yes, Joseph pays a steep price. He would have been looked down upon, his reputation ruined, but Joseph would continue to protect his family as he puts his family first, even though it came about in an unexpected way. Joseph is humble in his obedience. The Advent story of Joseph teaches us that God's love is made known not in worldly power, but in humble sacrifice. We learn that the throne of Jesus, our King, will not be a beautifully gilded chair with velvet cushions, but his throne will be one of love, formed and fashioned by his parents, both earthly and heavenly, as they modeled for him God's love. In the midst of the oppressive and harsh environment of first century Palestine, which I talked about the first Sunday of Advent, when the Jewish people had endured 400 years of violence, steep taxation, and at times their place of most sacred worship desecrated, into this world, the birth of Jesus offered a glimmer of hope to God's people. Two young parents took risks in order to bring Emmanuel, God with us, into the world. They could not have taken those risks without a deep knowledge of God's love within them, providing strength and courage for the journey which they embraced. Those of us who are fortunate enough to have grown up in a loving home understand that our parents will do almost anything for us, within reason, of course. They want us to feel safe and loved and provide for us a decent life. Even in the midst of their own anxiety and fear, they will do what they can to assure us when we ourselves are afraid. So I share this poem as I close, which speaks to God's love for us. It's called Love Comes Running by Reverend Sarah Speed. I remember the first time I was afraid. I was a child. It was a nightmare. You remember those pesky monsters under the bed. I remember minutes felt like hours. I begged the sun to rise. Fear always begs the sun to rise. Eventually, after minutes that felt like hours, I cried out. My dad came running. He sat on the edge of my bed. He said, "There is no reason to be afraid." He checked the closet and the floorboards. He rearranged my pillows. He said, "I can stay." And that's when I learned that when you are afraid, love always comes running. Love says, "I can stay." That's what God does for us. God sits at the edge of the bed. God checks the closet and the floorboards. God says, "Be not afraid." God stays until sunrise. Love always comes running. The God who comes as love into the world through Jesus comes running to us when we are afraid or anxious. Jesus, our King, is enthroned by this love that casts out all fear, and that is good news for us. Amen.